Good to see some new faces, some familiar faces, and some returning faces. It's good to have each and every one of you here this morning. I want to remind everyone that this coming Wednesday is community table at 5:30. There is a sign-up sheet in the back of the sanctuary on the ministry table. Please check that before you leave today. We all work together to bring these meals, to put these meals on the table, and everyone contributes in some way, whether it's through that or through their presence, their serving, cleaning tables, cooking in the kitchen, washing dishes, taking out the garbage, whatever. Everybody works together on it. So look forward to that on Wednesday evening. Also, I'd like to thank everyone involved with yesterday's clothing closet fall giveaway. We can present this in two ways. We had about 100 and so participants with 33 volunteers. And if you add that together, you got 133. So preacher math that I like to do, that sounds about like 140, 150 to me. So we had a good turnout. It was great. I met a lot of people. Got to talk with a lot of folks as they came through, many who partake in our Wednesday evening meals, others that were new, and we're just grateful. Our team does a tremendous job down with the clothing closet on a weekly basis, but these large clothing giveaways are just amazing, and I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you and praise God for you and your heart for those that are in need. They also, we had two hairstylists there that gave free haircuts to children. I think around 17 children had their hair cut. And you know that haircuts are not cheap these days. So that was a big help to those families. So I'm really proud of our church and the work that we do there. Also, I just want to remind everybody about our prayer list that's in the bulletin. We have several names on that prayer list, and each and every one needs prayers, but they also need attention. They need the love of Christ. And so as you look over that prayer list, perhaps there's someone there that you know. Maybe there's someone that you don't know, but you'd like to get to know. It'd be an opportunity for you to reach out to them and encourage them, support them, and whatever they may need. And you can find those things out by asking them, by making a phone call, just letting them know you're thinking of them. Send them a card. These are important things that we can do to encourage and help one another. So please review that each week. Put it in your Bible and read it over and pray over these folks during the week, during your devotion time. This morning, our scripture lesson is from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 3 through 11. It's on the screen. You can also open your Bible apps or your Bible and follow along in the reading of this morning's scripture from the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. Well, it sounds like this was a pretty special group of people that Paul was writing to. He thought quite a bit of them. In fact, if you flip over just a couple pages in your Bible to chapter 4, verse 1, he speaks about the church at Philippi as being his joy and crown. He's very proud of these Philippians. And of all the churches that he has written to, you know, most of the letters that are written in the Bible by Paul were written to churches that were problem children. They had issues, and he needed to write to them to help straighten them out. And they first let him know of their challenges. We don't know exactly what they wrote, but we have his letters to them saying, look, here's what you need to fix. But Philippians is a different group of people. It didn't seem like they provided him with any trouble. If they did provide him with trouble, it may have been just a little bit, not much at all. This church gave him the most satisfaction. And so the letter that we have here in the book of Philippians, this entire letter, is a letter filled with joy. It's happy. It's exciting. In it, Paul expresses his gratitude for the Philippians, his affection for them, and his love for them. When I think about this church, First Baptist Church of Greenville, I feel this way about you all. You're a blessed group of people, a wonderful group of people. We're not perfect. We know that. We're all sinners, forgiven by God's grace. But we get along together. We work together. We serve together. We solve problems together. We come together to serve Jesus Christ in this world and in our community. And I'm very grateful and proud of you. The Philippians is also a letter that is desperately needed for our churches today. It's a reminder to us of so many things. And so we're going to get into that today. But one of the things that I really want to lift up today is the title of this message, and that we are all partners with Christ in the gospel. Each and every one of us share a partnership. And that's how I look at the body of Christ. We all have a role to play. Each and every one of us serve in some way. No way is more important than any other. Every person makes a difference as we come together as a unified body in Jesus Christ. And so when we look at this scripture, we understand that we are all called to be servants of Jesus Christ, each and every one of us, always exalting the Lord, always being strengthened by him, and being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. I want you to hear that again, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. This means that when you get discouraged, when you get depressed, when you feel like you're not doing anything, you're not worth anything, remember that God who began a good work in you will be faithful. And he will complete it. He will bring it to completion. And that as we live out that faith, that we are called to produce the fruits of the Spirit, that we are to be living witnesses to Jesus Christ in this world while we're here on earth, and that ultimately God would call us home to heaven and our citizenship is there. But every time Paul thinks about the church at Philippi, he thinks about it as a church that brings him a lot of joy. Most of Paul's letters, if you've read them, they begin with a greeting. They always have some kind of prayer. But this one here is very special to him. And it's obvious in the way that he prays. As he talks about gratitude, confidence that he has in them, joy that is filled with the mind, that has filled his mind. And even when Paul is in prison, he's thinking about these people. And he's writing to them and telling them how proud he is of them, because they never caused him really much anxiety or any trouble. If they did, it wasn't very much. So let's think about what it means to be partners in the gospel. We have a great opportunity to share in the most amazing mission, the greatest mission that this world has ever seen and known. The mission to serve Jesus Christ and tell other people about him. And in these very first two verses, you may have noticed, and if you haven't, go back and look again. You could even circle it in your Bible, and yes, it's okay to do that, to bring out what it looks like to you. But in that, those very first two verses, Paul is very clear as he mentions the name of the Lord in this passage. Three times in the very first two verses. So when he speaks about the Philippians, he's very clear to understand that they are centered in Christ and that he's thankful to Christ for them. That's the reference that he makes. And that is what binds them all together. That is what brings them all together, that makes them faithful, that makes them joyful. They are participants. They are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And though they may never grasp the full meaning of this, three words begin to come up as I think about this, about what it means to be a partner in the gospel. The first one is privilege. It is a great privilege to serve Jesus Christ. It is a great honor to serve him, to be a partner in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is this? Because it brings us new status. It's not just that we're joining a new religion. It's not that just we're accepting Jesus Christ for the first time, but we are put right with God. That is a privilege that we get when we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We are put right with him. Secondly, we have a new life, and that new life that we have in Jesus Christ is continually renewed by the Holy Spirit. That is why he says, "Though he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." It's an ongoing process. We will not be perfect in this world. No church will be perfect in this world. No person will ever be perfect in this world. We get a new life, and it's continually renewed by the Holy Spirit. And then the third, and I think a really encouraging piece for me, is that we become part of a new community. That we're all part of this community of believers. And for Paul, I think the Philippian church was much like a family to him. There was a great love that he had for them. And I think that is very important. And I believe that among this body, there is a great love among each of us. And this privilege is spelled out in those first two verses when he mentions Jesus Christ. He mentions that as the key to what brings them together. And it is in Christ that we find our joy, ultimate joy. We are in Christ. We are saints in Jesus Christ. We are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And blessings come from him. Isn't that exciting to think about that? That we have all of that privilege, all of that opportunity, that we can be together, we can have a new faith, a new community, a new family of believers to share with. That is exciting to me, and it brings me a lot of joy and confidence as I look to the future. The second thing that I think about is the promise that is here. I do, again, think about that verse 6, that he who began a good work in me and you and all of us will be faithful to complete it. What a promise that is. And I know that there are some that are struggling in this congregation right now who have told me, but he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He's not left you alone. He has not forgotten you. He is right there with you, continually renewing you and walking with you through whatever it may be that you struggle. He who began that good work in you will complete it. This new status that is ours is that of being accepted by God. I don't want you to miss that. You are being accepted and welcomed by God Himself and through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is welcoming all of us into this community. But I also want us to realize in that there are a couple of snares. There are a couple of things of which we need to be aware. One is the idea that all we need to do is accept Jesus Christ. That's all we need to do. And we have that new status in Him, and there's nothing else that we need to do. Don't fall into that trap. The second snare is the despondency into which we sink when the tide of our Christian experience ebbs low. And I know this is true. For when we feel bad, when we're sick, when we've lost a loved one, when we struggle with our finances, when we're having difficulty in our relationships, when the world seems to be in such turmoil and war all over the place, and the government is shut down, and on and on and on, we become lifeless as Christians. That's not what God intended. We become where we don't believe any fruit is bearing in us, and that there's nothing that we can do to change that. We are battered by our own failure, and we feel forsaken by God, and that God has just left us behind, and that no one cares. Temptation is especially appealing in times like this, for we begin to tell ourselves, well, what does it really matter? What difference is it going to make? And we feel the joy of our salvation will never return to us. Remember, God did not start a work in you to abandon it. God did not start the church to abandon it. God is still here. God is still present in our church, in our world, in our suffering, in our humanness. And He will complete the work that He started. And so, my friends, I would encourage you to accept that promise, to claim that promise, to own that promise that God is with you, that He will come again, and that faith will be renewed in each and every one of us. Third is that we are partakers. If you look at verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about you since you have... Since I have you in my heart, for whether I'm in chains or defending the gospel, all of you share in this grace with me. We are all partakers together in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verses 3 and 4, he talks about every remembrance of you, every time he remembers the Philippian church and the joy that he has as he prays for them. And in verse 8, the depth and the longing and the yearning that he has to be reunited with them, even as he writes to them from prison and the struggles that he is having, there's still joy that comes to his heart when he ponders the Philippian church. He has the affection of Jesus Christ for them. He even calls as witnesses to the depth of his feeling before sharing in prayer in verses 9 through 11. Let's look at that prayer just a little bit this morning. First of all, it is a prayer of love. If you look at verse 9, this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. It's a prayer of love. that your love may abound more and more as they are participants in the gospel. You know, the English language really has messed up the word love. We have really messed it up. Okay, we love all kinds of stuff in this world. And that's the only word that we have, or one of the few words that we have that we use, and we really do not use it correctly as it is used here in the scripture today. For instance, when we talk about love in our culture, many times it's an erotic type of love that we're talking about. It's a passionate or a romantic type of love. And we say, oh, I love steak. Well, you can't love steak that way. All right? Maybe another word that's used in Greek, that first one there that I just talked about, is called eros. The Greek word eros. There's four words for love in the Bible. And that eros is a passionate love. It's a romantic love. And the second one is philia. This one, of course, we know when we talk about Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Friendship. And this is a good positive love that's spoken of in the scriptures. And then there's another one that's not mentioned as often, and one that I'd even kind of forgotten about. I always wondered where family fit in here, but there's the word storge, and it talks about a natural or an affectionate family love. It's the kind of love that you have within your family, that parents have for their children, for their grandchildren, nieces and nephews, et cetera, et cetera. This is the kind of love that most of us have within our families. But then there's that fourth type of love, and it's one that we pretty much most people have heard before, but it's called agape. Agape love is that unconditional and that selfless love. And that word was lifted up out of obscurity and brought into immortality, really, in the New Testament when Paul wrote it. And what when he wrote to the church at Philippi, he was talking about this kind of love that he had. It was an unconditional and a selfless type of love that he had for the church there. The spontaneous, unmerited love and favor of God that he has shown to each and every one of us who are rebellious people. We mess up, we rebel against God, we're angry with God, we're upset with God, and that's all okay. But the Son of God who loved you, he talks about, and gave himself up for you. This is the kind of love. Again, do you see the unselfishness of that love that God had when he gave up Jesus Christ, his only Son, and he offered him up for you? And then, of course, we have these wonderful words that Paul also wrote in what we call the love book or the love chapter, chapter 13 of his letter to the Corinthians, in that first book that he, or that first letter that he wrote to them. And in there, he tells us what love means and what it's all about when he says love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things for the sake of others. For the sake of others. This is the agape love that Paul is speaking about to the church at Philippi. And it's the love that he intended when he wrote these words to the church at Corinth as well. So we have that type of prayer. And then we also have to understand that prayer sheds light. Prayer sheds light on us. He tells the Philippian church that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in discernment. You ever heard the term or the phrase, love is blind? Who thought of that? Who said that? love is blind. Does anybody know? I don't know who said it first or who credited it to, but love is blind, that is totally off. That is totally 100 degrees off course from what the Bible talks about. Paul's prayer shows that we can hardly pray for growing love apart from the great light that is shown upon it. In other words, when we pray, it shows light. It sheds light on our lives, where we need to improve, what we need to be asking for help, all those kinds of things. Love calls for and seeks knowledge. It's not blind. Love is not blind at all. It doesn't overlook faults. It doesn't overlook weaknesses in others, but it sees them clearly. Why? Because then you can help. Then you can help bring healing and wholeness to someone when you see those. Not to be judgmental, love does not downplay the truth. Love is truth, and it speaks or speaks in circles or opaquely to avoid confrontation. No, love tells the truth. Love even confronts out of concern and understanding to bring change and to bring healing to people. And we must wrestle with those issues, those hard issues that are in our lives. And the result of that wrestling then is discernment. We pray and ask God to help us discern what it is that we need to change, what it is that we need to work on. And we apply then what we have discerned, what the light has shed, so that we can see clearly. The Bible tells us that we love the darkness, but be in the light, to come into the light and understand what God is doing. Men and women love the darkness, but God is in the light. And then it's also finally a prayer for life, a prayer for life. Everything that we do, every single thing that we do must be because of Jesus Christ and reflect Him. And everything that we do should reflect on Him because of Him, not upon ourselves. When people say something to us, it's because they see Jesus in us, when they're grateful. Praise God for that. How does this then express itself practically, teach in every one of us this morning? Verse 10 says, that you may approve the things that are excellent. We have to make a decision on what is good and what is evil. Not only that, but we also have to understand what is good and what is better. And we must also understand between what is better and what is best. And as my music professor used to say to us, all I ever really expect from my students is perfection. So we must strive for that excellence in all that we do. And verse 11 closes out his letter to the church at Philippi. And in that letter, he concludes by saying that you may be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Later on, again, Paul writes in the book to the church at Galatia, and he speaks to them about what would become known as the fruits of the Spirit. And he says that those fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things. Those are the fruits that you and I must have in our lives. The expectation is that we will be filled with the fruits of the Spirit, and that we participate, or that we practice them rather. And that's only possible, my friends, through the love that we have, the partnership that we share in the gospel. You may have read in the Vine this week that Patty and I, along with a couple of other GRR, Great Rivers Region, staff members from our denomination, will be departing Tuesday for Italy. And it is there that we are working to form a partnership with the Italian Baptists. You may also remember that this year, we had the privilege of hosting John and Amanda Good, who came from Italy to meet with us and to share with us about their ministry. They spoke downstairs in our community center, and John delivered a message here, and Amanda shared some of their testimony and the things that they were doing. This is a good opportunity for our region, and it's a way in which we can live out the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ, and to see what God is up to in other places. So I'm privileged to be able to be part of that team and to be able to do that. And we covet your prayers for safe flights, for enlightening, for God to lead us through worship and speak to us through his Holy Spirit, to show us in ways in which we might be more of servants and have that servant's heart. And when I think about you when I'm in Italy, I will remember you with joy. Because you know what? You all have caused me very little trouble in my ministry here. And I'm grateful for that. And it's been a long time. And I will remember you as I am there, and I'll pray for you as well. And I ask you to do the same for me. I'm grateful for the partnerships that our church shares locally, the partnerships that we have with the Bond County Food Pantry, the partnership that we share with the Bond County Recovery Council and the various groups that were present yesterday at the clothing closet, that we work together for a common good and helping people. I'm happy that we partner with our area churches and that some of us attended an event last month. I'm thankful for the partnership that Dale Daniken has brought to us and the Financial Peace University, for the good that God is doing through our ministerial alliance. And soon we'll begin to hear about the Christmas baskets and the things that God is asking us to supply so that others may have a wonderful meal. We partnered with the Bond County Recovery Council last month and had an event on the courthouse lawn where a couple of our members were there, Deb Mullen and Brenda Coster, sharing about our clothing closet. See, God is doing exciting new things, and that's the mission, the theme for our World Mission Offering this year, that God is doing exciting things and new things. Don't you perceive it? Don't you see it? And that's what he's asking us. It's a rhetorical question, but it's still there. Do you see it? Do you see what God is doing? Do you see what God is up to? And so I pray that we will continue to work together to advance the kingdom of God, to bring about his goodness to other people, and that as we do, we'll be filled with joy, that we'll practice the fruits of the Spirit, we'll be people of prayer, and continue to work together. As I close this morning, I'd like to close with just verses 9 through 11 for our prayer. So let's just bow our heads and hear these verses as they were intended as a prayer. Paul writes to the church, and this is my prayer, and that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen.